Welcome to this week's episode of The Read Out Loud, a weekly biotech podcast from STAT. I'm Allison DeAngelis.
I'm Adam Feuerstein.
And I'm Damian Garde.
It's Thursday, April 11th, and here's what we're going to talk about this week.
Vertex signed a multi-billion dollar buyout. We'll explain the deal and its fascinating backstory.
Inflation is up and biotech stocks are down. We'll discuss.
Lastly, a surprise announcement. You won't want to miss it.
All that after a word from our sponsor. And don't click 30 seconds ahead to get to that surprise
announcement. You have to wait for it.
Hey, Read Out Loud listeners, Bob Herman here, STAT's business of healthcare reporter and the writer behind the newsletter, Healthcare Inc. Healthcare Inc. is a weekly newsletter devoted to unpacking the business and secret inner workings of the U.S. healthcare industry. If you're someone who has ever received a medical bill or craves in-depth policy explainers or loves a playful meme now and again, I highly recommend you check this newsletter out. Learn more at the link in this episode's description. And now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks.
Okay, everybody, let's start the week with a little bit of acquisition news. Adam, can you tell us about the deal that Vertex made?
Yeah, late yesterday after the market close, Vertex announced that it was buying Alpine Immune Sciences. Pretty interesting deal. For starters, let's just say that Vertex doesn't do a lot of acquisitions. Particularly, they don't do a lot of large acquisitions. They do kind of smaller ones. This one is, you know, pretty good size, almost $5 billion to acquire Alpine Immune Sciences. So that was noteworthy. You know, you just don't see Vertex doing deals like that very often, although they certainly have the cash to do it. The deal, the sort of the centerpiece of this deal is a drug. I'm going to try to pronounce the name of this drug. Wish me luck. Povetacicept. It is a drug going into phase 3 clinical trials for an autoimmune disease of the kidney. It's called IgA nephropathy. It kind of bolsters or adds on to Vertex's already existing pipeline in kidney disease. And for those reasons, I think it's a pretty interesting deal.
It's also like finally the culmination. I swear, was it 2-3 years ago now that Reshma, Vertex's CEO, announced that she was looking for acquisitions kind of this size, like, you know, around $5 billion that would give them phase 2 and phase 3 assets. And then we've just been waiting and waiting. I'm so curious what the shopping process has been like on the back end.
Yeah, we'll see that in a little bit. Yeah, she, you know, the sort of the media friendly quote that she gave on the conference call was, you know, this deal or this drug is just the right fit with just the right asset at just the right stage of development where Vertex can add value. So there you go.
Very Three Little Bears.
I think
very
she nice. Also deployed pipeline in a product, which is a delightful
yes,
phrase.
They talked about that, yes.
Biotech yesterday. But no, it's interesting that Vertex, which has all this cash by virtue of its sort of superfluously successful cystic fibrosis franchise and has faced not necessarily pressure because they're still making money, but a persistent question as to what they'll do with it. And Allison, to your point, have they kind of dinked and dunked on licensing agreements and smaller buyouts, but this is a, for them, large outlay of cash. And I guess one wonders, and maybe they gave clues to this on the conference call, as to whether this is a prelude for more of this kind of deal making in the future. But also, they have the luxury that not many biotech companies have, which is profitability and consistent growth on medicines that they developed years ago that they're still reaping the benefits of because they are so powerful.
Yeah, and we should also talk about Alpine Immune Sciences itself. It's kind of an interesting company. CEO of that company is a guy by the name of Mitch Gold. Old timers will remember Mitch Gold as the CEO of Dendreon, which was the company that developed a prostate cancer vaccine immunotherapy, the first sort of vaccine cancer immunotherapy, again, in prostate cancer, that was, I don't know, Damien, you were around, and it was a, dare I say, a controversial company and therapy at its time.
It was. I mean, the story in thumbnail is great promise, great trading of the stock, and many promotional promotional is too strong a term, many optimistic statements from Mitch Gold himself about the promise of Dendreon that led to a crushing return to earth upon realizing the difficulty of commercializing that novel prostate cancer therapy, and then finally the bankruptcy of the company and its eventual sale for a much smaller number than it was once worth. I do wonder, in hindsight, Do we think Dendrion was maybe more ahead of its time than it was a victim of its own hubris? Because I think the latter was definitely the read at the time.
I think you're right. You know, what was interesting about it, this was all before the age of social media, really. I mean, you know, the Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it now, did not exist at the time where people were debating Dendrion and Provenge and the bull bear debates. And it was really intense back then. I mean, I was covering it back then. And, you know, Mitch was a pretty promotional CEO. I mentioned this on Twitter/X last night that in early March, he was in town for the Cowen conference. And we, you know, we sort of connected and wanted to. I had not seen Mitch in years. And so we grabbed some coffee. And it was really, it was great to catch up with him. And we talked about how sort of insane that Dendrion time was, because, you know, I imagine if you put that Dendrion, if you put that, what happened to Dendrion in today, like if you sort of parachuted that today, it would be off the charts. I mean, with, you know, with everything that goes on in social media and all this sort of divisiveness, it would be insane. But, you know, he's also older, grayer. I noticed a bunch of gray hair and I think wiser as well. And, you know, he was running Alpine. It was very much of sort of a much more low key way than he had run Dendrion. I think he sort of learned from that. We've all learned to probably be a little bit mellower. And so it was, you know, I'm really happy for him. I think this is obviously a great outcome for Alpine and what they've done. So, you know, kudos to him.
Wow. What a time of reflection in the biotech industry and on this podcast. Should we continue that reflection on what's been happening with the markets, both private and public, in biotech this last quarter? Because we've just hit, I mean, actually, I can't believe we're already in mid-April at this point, and the initial numbers are in. On the private side, which is what I cover, financing was really good in the first 3 months of the year. Biotechs raised $6.8 billion, which is the highest amount they've raised since, like, mid-2022. So, you know, a little bit of a sign of optimism, though cautious optimism at this point. How are things looking on the public side, Damian?
Well, it has been volatile. I mean, when we spoke around JP Morgan, there was a persistent sense of cautious optimism, which there always is. But in this case, it was reflected in the way biotech stocks were trading in early January, in that they were up at the time of the conference and had been down for the majority of 2023, but then volatile toward the fourth quarter. And so I think the question then was whether the upswing that had been seen was something that would have legs into the year. And it certainly seemed that way into February, sort of buoyed along by some major acquisitions and also just a pervasive sense that there was a new normal setting in and IPOs would happen and everyone would be at least a facsimile of the happy that they were during the pandemic when everything was booming. And then, cut to this week, the latest inflation numbers came up. And it's not so much that inflation increased per se, but that it's not decreasing at the level that economists wanted. And then you get into the sort of house of cards that we seem to build in economics in the United States. And the fact that the rate wasn't where people wanted it to be suggests that the Fed is not going to cut interest rates as quickly as people had assumed. And then all of that trickles down to sectors perceived as risky, of which biotech is very much one, become less attractive when the interest rate environment is less favorable. And so then we saw biotech stocks drop. And the XBI, the closely watched index, turned red for the year earlier this week after reaching as high as 12% up in February. And it's one of those things, I mean, we've had this conversation and you hear it from people. I think there is a fundamental frustration. Biotech investors and people in the industry understand when stocks move based upon clinical trial data or mergers and acquisitions or things that are fundamentally tied to what they're investing in. When biotech stocks move because gas prices are persistently high and as a result the CPI number is unfavorable and everybody focuses on the Fed, all of this, I think that's deeply frustrating because you know, investing in the sector involves learning a great deal of minutiae about science and about how drugs work and then placing bets accordingly. And then to see your bets turn red just because, again, of inflation, I don't know. I imagine it's frustrating.
I talked to Jared Holtz, the Mizuho Securities healthcare market strategist, a couple of days ago, just kind of get his sense of where things were. And, you know, we were talking, and, you know, he used the term stale to kind of talk about where the biotech market is these days. You know, then the CPI print came out and I sort of pinged him back. And, you know, obviously, you know he agreed that it would sort of have a negative impact overall on biotech stocks. But it was funny. On the flip side, what he told me was that, you know, a more challenging micro backdrop could also actually accelerate M&A. because, you know, basically selling to large cap, you know, pharma is kind of viewed as a preferred pathway, is what he told me. And we had this conversation about that. And then literally like hours later, you know, the Vertex Alpine deal. So I'm not saying he predicted that, but like, you know, but it is an example, but it, you know, it could be an example of sort of that. And maybe we'll see a little bit more of an acceleration of M&A, you know, if stocks kind of stay where they are. All right, so now for the special announcement. And I should note that we are recording this podcast today together. We are in one of Stat's conference rooms in our Boston headquarters. Damien, I'm looking at Damien right now. Hello, Damien.
Hello.
Hello, Allison. And we're all together. Teresa, our producer, is here as well. And we don't really usually record the podcast all together, so this is a nice treat. But it also is tied into this special announcement that we have. And I'm just going to let Damien tell us what's going on.
Right, yeah, the special announcement, Jesus, is that this will be my last episode of this podcast, at least as a co-host, because I am leaving Stat at the end of this week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's... No. We, Adam and I have known for a little bit, and we...
We have known for a while, but still.
Like, we have been processing it, and I don't think it's sunk in. It truly... the podcast isn't going to be the same without Damien. A man who, you know, so much can be said about. There are no words. He is a man of multitudes, including the fact that his own personal website is neon green and has a tab dedicated to his cats.
Yeah.
Damien Garde, the one and only.
Yeah, I mean, we've known this now for a couple of weeks. And but still, when I just heard Damien say that and I'm looking at him, it's still, I had a little shudder that went through... went through my spine, because I'm maybe not fully processing the fact that after working with you for 7 years, you started at Stat a year before I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an incredible ride working with you, Damien. I'm not going to say I've enjoyed every moment of you, because that would be disingenuous, but I have enjoyed like 95% of the moments that I've worked with you, including obviously on this podcast. So, you know, congratulations on the new job, and we are obviously going to miss you a lot here, both you know, on the sort of digital print side, but also here on the podcast side of Stat.
I did want to, thinking back to when you started at Stat, I pulled a couple of clips from your early Stat writing, and I wanted to see if you can remember the roasting portion of the podcast. Yeah. I wanted to see if you can remember what these segments were from,
okay,
what articles. So here's a segment of Damien writing. Anna Devane has survived assassination plots, severe frostbite, and a boat explosion that left her with amnesia. Now, resigned to a hospital bed with inexplicable fatigue, she's facing perhaps her most fearsome adversary. Quote, "There's no way to put this, Anna," said Dr. Griffin Monroe, a former Catholic priest who is also the out-of-wedlock son of Devane's mob-connected ex-husband. Quote, "You have cancer."
Yeah.
What was that? Damien?
So that was a true Holy Grail study story that I got assigned, sort of insider baseball for when you write, well, I guess it's probably self-explanatory. When you write a story about a study in science journalism, there's ways to go about it, but I had stumbled upon, or I think, no, maybe it was Stephanie Simon who put in front of me, a study about the use of non-branded drug marketing on television, but specifically by weaving it into the plots of soap operas. And so I wasn't a soap opera person myself, but I read that there was an ad for, I believe it was an Insight medicine, although Insight was not mentioned in it, that was woven into the plot of, that might have been General Hospital.
It was indeed General Hospital, okay. May 2017.
So in order to write that lead, which I belabored, and which is arguably, hearing it now, a little wordy, frankly, I dug into the lore of General Hospital in order to describe those characters. And then I assume I get into the news of, like, you know, why physicians say it's problematic to market it this way. That was a fun story. That was that like 2017?
So Damien, have you had I wonder if you've had a chance to reflect on your career here at Stat and maybe share with us some of the stories that you most enjoyed writing, reporting and writing.
Yeah. I think there's probably an inverse relationship between my enjoyment and the actual impact of the story on the other end. So
Is that saying that you didn't like doing all the Biogen work that we did?
So there are stories that I'm proud of in the sense that they're like journalistic soundness and whatever, but those aren't the ones I enjoyed. I think the most joy I ever derived from a Stat story was early in the days of Stat Plus. I think it's okay to say this publicly. It's too late now. I've already begun. We didn't really know what to put behind the paywall, what people wanted to read. And so there was a pretty green light if you had an idea. And an idea I had is that we were covering at the time, Rebecca Robbins more closely, but all of us were really tuned into Patrick Soon-Shiong, the billionaire, now owner of the LA Times, but previously known mostly for his biotech exploits. And I had noticed that in his speech, one, he loved to coin a phrase, which I appreciate earnestly, but he would begin, or before he would unveil whatever new phraseology he had, he would say, "That's what I call," or "what I like to call." And it was like a verbal tick almost that I really fixated on, and I convinced them to let me make what is really a listicle of just great Patrick Soon-Shiong neologisms or just like invented phrases, but that are all introduced by what I call. And it was maybe like 350 words, and I don't know how much time I spent on it, but I've never felt more like I really put myself into this work. I'm so proud of it. So seek that out if you're listening to this. It's my
proudest
ever.
When I think about your career here at Stat, and I went back and looked, I mean, you know, probably some of the stories that stand out, I mean, just some of the profiles that you did. I mean, you wrote one of the early profiles of Vivek Ramaswamy back in 2016 when he was launching Roivant or an Axivant. I think that was a really interesting profile you did. Obviously, you did the Stelios, Godfather of Biotech profile, which was also a great piece of writing.
That's one of my
the
favorites.
The Ashish Jha.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the sort of COVID whisperer. And you got Carlos Williams reference into that story. Because you're sort of known in Stat for sort of getting sort of the cultural references into stories. Some of the points where many of us had to sort of Google them. Like, you know, there was Damien would have some sort of he would have some phrase or something. And we're like, what is that? And I know I had to on several occasions had to look them up.
Oh, absolutely. Every week before we record this podcast, there's usually a conversation about whatever art house film Damien has viewed recently and his assessment of it, the director, the lead actors, so on and so forth. So here's to hoping that part of your next endeavor includes some sort of movie coverage.
I guess one never knows. Also, the art house film thing, I think, overstates it a little bit considering most of our conversation in recent weeks has been about the film Maestro and its prosthetics and the psychosexual nature of its relationship to its creator. Mm. So, yeah, I'll make room for that, though.
So, Damien, we have asked some of your friends, colleagues, to reflect on their time with you and, you know, your next endeavors. And we now want to play it for you. And though the audience can't see, Adam and I will watch you cringe throughout the entire thing. The audience gets to enjoy some nice.
We did think about trying to make Damien cry, but that's going to be impossible. Like, Damien will not cry. Yeah. So.
It's a tough thing to put on a podcast. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Damien. It's Matt. Still can't believe you're leaving.
Hey there. This is Drew Joseph calling in from my base here in London. And Damien, you said that when I moved over here last year, you'd come and visit and we'd go to an Everton match together. And so I'm just going to use this chance to publicly shame you for not following through on that.
Hi, Damien. It's Meg Terrell. One of my favorite Damien memories is when I got mad at you for calling me one of your biotech big sisters, because I am not actually that much older than you. But I have since realized that is exactly what a big sister would be mad about.
This is Jason Eukman, and I've nominally served as Damien's editor for many years now. I say nominally because the dirty little secret is that Damien needs shockingly little editing. But he's quippy enough to be a terrific newsletter author, and obviously entertaining enough to co-host this podcast.
This is Lev Fasher, Stats Addiction Reporter. Damien, I don't know what we're going to do without your jokes and your repartee, the literary references that fly way over my head, the New Mexico fun facts, and your invaluable newsroom presence.
Hey there, this is Megan Akashevan. I am the co-author of The Readout with Damien. We've become such an incredible just force in the biotech reporting world, and I'm really excited for your future badassery. Nope, I can't say that. All the amazing reporting you are going to be doing that I will then write about in The Readout.
You know, everyone who's read one of your stories or heard you on this podcast knows how quick and witty you are. Also, just like how insightful and sharp you are. What they might not know is just what a wonderful colleague you are. And, you know, so generous with all that you know and with suggestions for sources and always just so patient and happy to help. We've all learned an absolute ton from you.
Hi, this is Megan Thielking, and I was an editor and reporter at Stat with Damien back from the earliest days. You're smart and you're funny and you're sharp, and we all know that, but you're also just such a humane and fair reporter. You just have this amazing eye and way into stories, and it just makes everyone else and their work better.
Damian, this is Nick Florco, stats reporter on the Commercial Determinants of Health. Your sharp wit and encyclopedic knowledge of obscure references makes you both the best person to have a conversation with at Stat, and it makes you such a great journalist, too.
This is Alex Hogan. I'm a video producer here at Stat, and I just want to say thanks, Damian, for always being down for some half-baked video idea and always being willing to jump on a green screen and make it good anyway. And now I just don't know who here is going to get my obscure 90s underground hip hop references.
I will miss having to Google all the references you make that I still never understand. I will also miss your conspicuous refusal to participate in Adam and Allison's running jokes.
We're all lucky, not just here at Stat, but in this space, that a writer as fluid and gifted as you, you know, has come to help chronicle our area.
Stat won't be the same without you.
He is, in other words, something of a magician, and we'll miss both him and all of his journalistic tricks greatly.
Anyways, bye.
Godspeed.
Okay, so obscure was mentioned several times in that lovely, lovely tribute put together by Teresa. Teresa, that was such a great tribute, putting that together. Thank you so much.
Damien, how does it feel?
Like attending my own funeral in so many ways. No, but thank you to everyone who contributed to that. It's very sweet. It's very... I don't know. It's lovely to hear, you know, one wants to make an impression on one's colleagues. I don't know. Earnestness doesn't come naturally to me. Maybe not news to anyone, certainly in this room, probably not listening to this either. But no, it's very sweet. I am, you know, taken aback, I think, perhaps by the obscurity of, I'm apparently just wandering through the earth, baffling people. I got to tighten that up. But otherwise, no, lovely to hear from everyone. Lovely to have done this podcast for so many years with all of you. And what can I say? What a ride.
The end.
The end.
And on that note, sad note, that does it for another episode. The final Damian Gardet episode of The Read Out Loud.
Thank you to Teresa Gaffney for producing this week's episode.
Our senior producers are Hyacinth Empanado and Alyssa Ambrose. Our executive producer is Rick Burke, and our theme music is by Brian Joel.
And we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you like about this week's episode, what you didn't like, and tell us how much you're going to miss Damian Gardet. You can do all that by sending us an email at readoutloud@statnews.com.
And if you like what we do, leave a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you use to get your podcasts.
See you next week.
The hope is that regardless of what the answer is, yes or no, with lecanemab, it will be less constipated. Well, I mean that too, I guess.
Just what it means medically, financially, societally. Damien, did you write this? You're making me crazy.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I'm Adam Feuerstein.
And I'm Damien.
No, I'm going to do that again. Okay. That was weird intonation.
I liked that. That was really weird, like nightly news.
Tonight, is a household product threatening your child?
We'll tell you which one it is next
Maybe.
Week.
Are we... Can I do a thing? Because it felt like it was a little bit delayed. Can we do a test, Meg, where like the second you hear me stop talking, start talking?
Okay, but you didn't give me enough notice.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to do it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Then I have to like guess when you're going to end. But can you just tell me like that you're going to get to 10 and then when you get or like 3?
I'll count to 5 and then you say 6 as soon as you stop hearing the word 5. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, you stopped.
My modalities are getting shattered left and right in this recording. You're right. We don't need to. We keep listening if you want, you hogs. Like, you've already clicked on it at that point.
I feel like we got to follow that up with a laugh or something.
That is a tough pivot to be like, but seriously.
But seriously.